Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The Cavs continue their West Coast trip, looking to keep the momentum building that they did when they got a win against the Nuggets the other night. And we have some New Year's resolutions for the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's the latest episode of the Courtside with the Cavaliers on SI podcast. We'll be here to break it all down for you. Spencer German, Spencer Davies coming up next. Welcome in to Courtside with the Cavaliers on SI. Spencer German, Spencer Davies with you here on the show as we talk all things Cleveland Cavaliers. We said we're going to have some New Year's resolutions for the Cavs. I think I need to have a New Year's resolution to have a better intro than that last one to start the new year. Not my best, but it's all good. It's been a long couple of weeks. Anyway, Spence, excited to be back with you, man. I know it's been a crazy time of year.
First holiday was great, man. Had a bunch of board games. Family was home. You know, Cade didn't have any games at Capitol, so he was back. Good to see, middle bro, little bro doing his thing with the MMA and boxing and all that good stuff. And then my aunt flew into town and had a good time, watched some football, watched some hoops. Overall, good time, man. I mean, how can you not love the holiday season when you have family around and obviously hooking up with old friends and hanging out and out at the, you know, getting dinner and all that good stuff. So it was really good time. And, you know, it's not over yet. This is what's so crazy about the holidays. I call this this last week the fakest week of the entire year because you don't know what day it is. You don't know what you're doing. Maybe there's a bowl game on a Monday afternoon like there is right now. It's definitely hard to stay engaged and stay like in that like mode, especially with, you know, New Year's coming up. But I feel like, yeah, we're just winding it down here in 2024 and then on to 2025 we go.
Yeah, I think that's well said, that it's the fakest year, the fakest week of the year. I've certainly lost all track of time. But, I mean, it's nice. Like, the thing that's tough about this time of year is, like, I'm so busy with just work covering multiple teams here in town, including the Cavs. And, you know, I get so swamped with things, but I want to be able to take like some time just to spend time with family. And that's not really easy to do in this business, but I'm glad that you were able to get some time. I'm glad that I was able to get some time. And as we do sort of look ahead to the calendar changing over, the new year sort of approaching, we know we have a Cavaliers team that is still playing really, really good basketball. And honestly, like Christmas Day is kind of always joked as the pseudo start of when people really start paying attention to the NBA. So I think even more people are going to start tuning into this team and realizing, man, this team is legit. They are a contender in the Eastern Conference, and people are going to have to sort of start to understand like what this team could be and the threat that they could be in the Eastern Conference. So I'm excited to talk about all those different things with you and what this kind of looks like moving forward. But I guess, Spence, as they continue this West Coast trip, they got the big win, obviously, over the Nuggets the other night, 149 to 135, putting up 149 points is a pretty impressive way to start such a trip of this nature. What are you hoping to learn, though, from this team for the rest of this trip where they got three games still to go, back-to-backs, including the Warriors on Monday night, Lakers on Tuesday, and then they wrap up on Friday with the game against the Mavericks, who we obviously know is maybe of the teams on this part of the schedule, that's the one I think I'm the most intrigued by that's left. But what are you hoping to learn from this group?
How long they can sustain the same play that they've had for the last 2.5 months. It just hasn't changed. There's not just one guy who's sticking out. It's everyone down the line. You can look across this roster and see the contributions that have been made at this point. And I thought that Donovan Mitchell the other night in the locker room said it really well. You can't get bored of repetition because it's working. And you don't want to go away from what's working just because you might not think it's fun. But if you continue the same habits and build upon it each game, each night, whatever you want to look at it as, then you're going to be able to just make it your natural go-to set, your go-to way of playing. And that's what the greats do. And I think the collective is the thing we have to focus on here the most. There's so many that try to nitpick or try to separate player from team and team from player, that there's just not enough celebrated about this group as a whole. And you can just pick any name. Like, if you ask me a name right now, I'll give you something good that they've done this season to help contribute to winning and contribute to a 27-4 record. It's how they've played with each other. It's their belief in each other. I think it's also the continuity from last season. And that's made all the difference in how they've started out 24-25, because they know who they're sacrificing for. They know who they're playing with and playing for. And Kenny's just kind of been the mad scientist in the lab cooking it all together. And it's worked out so beautifully.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned like the habits, because I want to be clear. Like, going back and looking back at the teams that make those finals runs with LeBron, I don't want to say they had bad habits, but we know, like, the story with that team was always like there was always the flip the switch story. Like, this time of year, you always got like the flip the switch story. Like, oh, now that we're in January and February, like, are they finally going to sort of flip the switch and start really gearing up for the playoffs? What's interesting with this team is, like, that's not their mentality at all. Their mentality from the jump has been, let's build those habits early. And that's really what the regular season is about, right? Like, we know night to night, there's a difference between playing teams night to night and then, like, getting to a playoff series where they're really scheming against you X's and O's wise and, like, breaking things down and trying to figure out, like, what the best matchups are to exploit you. Like, there's a difference between a series and the regular season games. So, yeah, like, you can't always take, you know, these regular season matchups aren't always, like, the end-all be-all for how a series against that team is going to go. But I think one of the most important things that does come from the regular season is the team, like you said, establishing those habits, establishing that chemistry. And they've already gotten off to a great start on that in that regard. But they've also, like, if they can continue that and they can have those habits continue to sort of just blossom in the second, I call it the second half because the calendar's turning over. But, like, from January on, leading up to the playoffs, like, I think that just means, like, it means the sky's the limit, I think, for this group, because they'll already have kind of established who they are, what they do well. They'll just kind of be able to pick up where they left off in the playoffs rather than feel like it's like a whole new thing and they're still trying to kind of like there's no flipping the switch with this group is what I'm trying to say.
They come into every game with the same mentality. It might be one of those things where they do get down and do like a 7-0 hole like they did in Brooklyn a couple weeks ago, but then they just came back and pulverize that team, right? Like, it doesn't matter what situation they're in. They're always even keeled. And if you go back and look at our YouTube page, and Kenny Atkinson says this so well during pregames, people ask him all the time about Donovan Mitchell and also about the temperament of this group. Just like, I've never met someone that's just so in the middle, you know, never get too high, never get too low. And I feel like a lot of people can benefit from listening to that and also adapt that mindset and make yourself kind of better feeling person if you do that, because, you know, if you have the highest of expectations, you're setting yourself up for failure. If you have low expectations, you know, for yourself and you exceed them, then you get on too much of a high from there. Like, if you just stay that kind of Joe Cool in the middle, you're going to be in a good spot. And if Donovan has that temperament, you know that that's going to trickle on over to the other guys. Maybe not the Max Strus and George Niangs of the locker room, because those guys are extremely emotional and play with their heart on their sleeve. But I feel like if Donovan has that attitude, then the guys who he's leading, And the younger guys in particular are going to have that same attitude. And I think it works very well for this team because having only four losses to this point, it's like, okay, what do we do wrong in those four losses? Then what's the good that we did in the 27 wins? And that might sound ridiculous from an outsider, like, dude, you're 27-4. I said, but everyone's question is always about the postseason. And as I said on your hosted show earlier today, you can't turn the hands of time forward by 2 to 3 months. You can't do it. You got to just continue to kind of chip away at your habits, correct some things on the defensive end of the floor, make sure you're not getting beat in the open floor, maybe rebound a little bit better on the offensive glass. But, I mean, that's really about all we can talk about. Like, the subject that I wanted to kind of dig into in this podcast, Spence, is just what else can we talk about at the moment except just continue to repeat ourselves, repeat our habits of this podcast, and it's the same thing over and over and over again. We can talk about returns. We can talk about some cool things that are happening in the G League with the Charge. Like, I went to that game on Friday. That was very fun. Like, but like, what else is new? What is that you can talk about that's changed? It's just all been so consistent and constant. And Kenny just keeps going back to the continuity of the roster. And also just that the guys are willing to buy in for one another. What else is there to say?
Yeah. The team is almost so good and so consistent, like you alluded to, that they're boring to talk about. Like, because we just kind of know what to expect, right? Like, they throw the balls out and we're like, all right, we know they got a chance in this game. And we know Donovan Mitchell is going to do what Donovan Mitchell does. We know Evan Mobley, who we're going to talk about here in a second, is on that sort of leap that we've been waiting for. Like, so it's just kind of interesting to your point, like, for a team that is this good, we've like run out of things to talk about because it's been very similar, like from start to finish to this point, obviously. Like what they've done, how they've won, the way they've done it, the chemistry, like it's all just kind of stayed constant. I think that's interesting. I brought up Evan Mobley though, and I think at this point, like for the years and years, the 3+ years that people waited to see this guy take that leap, I think it's safe to say he has finally done that, Spence. He has been playing phenomenal these last couple weeks in particular. He is fitting right into this group, and I can confidently say, or he's fitting right into like the system and what they want to do. And I can confidently say, like, we've been waiting for the day where we could sort of finally crown him. Like, he is the number two guy on this team with Donovan Mitchell. I think he's reached that status at this point. Like, he's playing at a phenomenal level. And I do think that I'm not saying he's reached his ceiling yet either. Like, I think there's still room for him to grow. You know, we talked a lot on our previous conversation this morning about just how he's had to kind of develop a jump shot, and he's had to develop things. He wasn't like naturally born as this great like jump shooter. It took a lot more time. It's been him putting in more work to get there. So that's why I think like there's still room for him to grow even further. But I've been blown away by his play, the fact that the leap that we had been waiting for has finally arrived, and it's as good as we expected, if not, you know, and maybe trending towards even being better than we expected. And I'm also comfortable saying, like, he better be a damn all-star this year because he has been absolutely phenomenal. And if people don't take notice of that and vote for him, then it's a little ridiculous.
It would be pretty tough to think that he's not an all-star this year. There are so many different avenues that you can look at Evan Mobley's growth on the offensive end. You can look at the one piece that everyone had talked about previously, and that's the three-point shot and stretching out to the perimeter. All right, he's starting to do that. He's at 41% or something like that. He needs to hit 2 tonight as we record this on a Monday to get to 100 in his career, which is obviously not a big number, but still, knowing hey, what it, he hit last
your
year.
Your first 100 of many more hundreds to come.
Well,
he's
going to
come for Steph Curry. I'm kidding.
but okay, you look at that piece. Then you look at the ball handling piece. And yeah, it still gets a little bit loose here or there when he puts it on the floor. Sometimes he might dribble it off of his thigh or it just might be a little too loose. But for the most part, his drives have been really good and he's learning how to stop and play out 2 feet, which is big time. I think the biggest weapon he has, and how many times have I said this on this podcast, is when he pump fakes off of a closeout and then dribbles to his left and goes left and finishes left. He dunked on 2 dudes with his left hands With he doesn't have two left hands.
Just left hands. I mean, he would have quite the advantage if he had two left hands, if we're being honest with us.
Yeah. Well, shoot, he'd be Inspector Gadget at that point. Is that his new nickname? Is that what we're going with? But seriously, though, like, he dunked on two dudes with his left hand last week in back-to-back games. And that was after they forced him to that side, which I have no idea why teams are doing it, but continue to be his guest because he is making every team pay with that. He even showcased a little bit of a turnaround fader, the jump hooks. He's just kind of got a little bit of everything rolling on the offensive end right now. We're not even getting to the passing. The two-man game with Sam Merrill, the two-man game with Max Strus that I'm sure we're going to see is going to blossom in the way that we thought it would. The two-man game with Jared Allen when he's on the receiving end or the passing end. So many connections with teammates. I mean, we just know that him and Donovan, after questioning them maybe as a pair last year, they have been one of the best pick-and-roll duos in the entire league. And a lot of it's inverted stuff, too, where Evan's the ball handler and it's Donovan that's the one that's setting the screen. Like, the guard screens have taken this team to another echelon. And so have small screens. Like, there's just so much imagination. And a lot of the credit has to go to Evan. A lot of the credit has to go to Kenny. There's just so many good things you could talk about with Evan. There's still things that he needs to improve on. Like I said, the handle can get a little bit loose. Sometimes he's off on his timing a little bit. Defensively, I don't think he could get any better. I'm just going to say that come flat out.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to ever get any better.
I think the defense, that's been his identity since he got to the league. Like you saw that early on, like even when his offensive game was still coming along and we had questions, like he used his defense to like be his staple trait, I think. And he used that as like almost like a building block to then accelerate or get better on the offensive end. And when he wasn't impacting the game in an offensive way, like in certain games, you could still see his imprint on games because of what he did in the box score on the defensive side of the floor. So, yeah, I'm 100% with you on that. Like, his defense has been phenomenal. He's been a top-tier defender in this league since he entered the league. But to see the offensive side of that coming along and the impact of his offensive game on the rest of the team and the rest of the core four has just been amazing. And it's just like you go back to when Kenny Atkinson was hired and like he put so much emphasis on how important Evan was going to be to all this and to see it play out. I mean, we've seen a lot of things play out so smoothly with Kenny Atkinson, of course, but to see like his plan and everything he said coming to fruition with Evan in real time as we watch this season unfold has been really, really cool because we all knew like this team could reach another level if Evan took that leap and he's finally there.
Yeah, and he's always said, Donovan has always said, that Evan has to be the guy he's being in order for this team to take that next step. And that's what exactly that Evan's doing. Donovan is so important to Evan's growth because Donovan's the one that's setting him up. And Donovan's giving him the outlets and the triggers and all that stuff. When Evan's bringing it up the floor, he has an option to pass to. He has an option that is going to take attention away from Evan because it's going on to another guy. Like that's where team comes into the game of basketball. Like if these guys are threats elsewhere on the court, defenders are going to chase them. Sometimes two are going to chase somebody that doesn't have the ball, which then is just going to open up a plethora of other options for you. And Darius Garland's been an absolute treasure in the way that he's taken advantage of that too, because he's been awesome on catch shoots. His floater has been phenomenal this year. His setups, the Nash dribbles, the probe dribble, the way that he's not turning it over, setting teammates up, whether it's the traditional 1-5 pick and roll with Jared Allen, or it's finding Donovan Mitchell on a drive and kick, or Caris LeVert on a drive and kick, or Dean Wade, whoever it is. DG's been awesome too. So, again, I'm running out of ways to describe it because it all connects. Evan has gotten better because DG has gotten better. And that's also because Donovan is helping, I don't know, what empower their growth. And that has just kind of trickled to the rest of the team. And development doesn't stop. Player development doesn't stop, no matter what age you are. And it's just uplifting. Everyone is picking each other up. There's no other way to say this. And that locker room, if you watch the videos that I post, you can tell they're a bunch of crazy dudes in that locker room, but they know what it is. They know the task at hand. They know they've got to take the step, and they know who they are. They're comfortable in who they are and that they can trust the next man over.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, but it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think we need to start a new bit where we come up with a different word every episode of how to describe this Cavs team, because we've used the same ones. That's what'll be fun about it.
We gotta find
a new word every single show, and that'll be our little game here. Along those lines, though, Spence, because of how connected they are and how well they're playing, we know the trade deadline is looming. I do think, on some level, we have seen that there is a style of team, and I know I've talked to Chris Fedor about this a little bit. Like, there is a style of team that does tend to give the Cavs a little bit of trouble. It's these longer teams that can defend well around the arc, because you have two smaller guards. It's a little bit harder to sort of penetrate those types of teams when you don't have like the same wings to kind of match their wings. And that's, so it is a little bit more of a challenge for this team. And I think we have seen that play out in certain games this year. And it could be an area that they maybe look to address at the trade deadline. But what's tough about this situation, Spence, is like, you're playing so well. You are the best team in the NBA record-wise. You're all in sync. The chemistry, as you alluded to, is off the charts with this group. The locker room vibes are immaculate. Like, you don't want to mess with a good thing either. And so there's almost this balancing act that has to happen at the trade deadline if you're going to make a move where you're trying to, okay, yeah, maybe we want to try to improve a little bit here or there in the margins, but we also don't want to, like, disrupt everything by trading the wrong player or the wrong players. So I guess, Spence, like, we're a month and a half from the trade deadline. We'll have plenty of time to still talk about, like, potential ideas or options that they have, and maybe we'll get some more reports and rumors on things that they're sort of kicking around. But as we are a month and a half out from the trade deadline, what type of approach do you think they are going to take to that moment on the schedule? Do you see them, you know, making any changes to this team at this juncture? Or do you think it's going to be kind of a, listen, we've got this far with this group, let's see how far we can take this thing come playoff time?
I think it's more of the latter. They'll probably view Max Strus as like a starting caliber trade deadline acquisition type of thing, because he's still ramping up. You know, he's played a few games, but he's still not quite all there yet. He's helping on the glass. He's gone and hit a few threes, and he's obviously doing a good job passing. But he's still not quite where he, you know, wants to be probably, and is not where the team knows he's going to be. So I feel like that, first and foremost, is probably their first thought. Secondly, yeah, you don't want to disturb the temperature in the locker room right now. And I know that sounds silly, like, oh, if you have the chance to go for it, go for it. But my question is, like, what have they shown you to this point that is somewhat of a weak sign? Like, I just haven't seen it. And I know people are going to point to the schedule or whatever they want to do, but, I mean, if you look at the rest of the league, canvas the league, like, everyone's had some sort of trouble at some point of the season. So, like, I don't, like, the Celtics, I think, are, like, 5-5.
Yeah, they're having a bad stretch right now. You're right.
Right. Like, and everyone does have a bad stretch. It could be these next three games for the Cavs, for all we know. But to this point, I just don't see how you think that the Cavs don't have someone that's capable of stopping a wing. The reason you might think that is because Dean Wade hasn't been around much longer in the playoffs that we're used to seeing in the regular season, and that he gets hurt sometimes. And that is probably your best wing defender. Max Strus, I think, can do a good job on wings. I think George Niang could do a good job on wings in certain situations. Evan Mobley might be your top wing defender on switches. Jared Allen can go out there and guard on the island. So I don't know. Like, I think the Hawks thing has everyone in a tizzy, and it's weird because that happened like a month ago, and I don't know why that would still be preoccupying your mind on a 27-4 team. But I don't know. They're switching a lot more this year. So that makes me less inclined to think that, okay, if they don't have a guy that's 6'8 or 6'9 that can defend, it gives you a less chance. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me to look at. And it's hard to me to also think if they do decide that a wing is necessary for that, then they're probably trading one of their core guys that they didn't want to trade in the first place because an offer came through that they couldn't refuse. But I don't see that as their mindset. And there's not much else that you have asset-wise to get somebody unless you part with one of the guys that you really wanted to. And I feel like Caris LeVert was assumed to be that guy going into this season because he's on the expiring deal, or maybe even a Ty Jerome because they're on expiring deals, that those could have been your trade assets. But they've been extremely part of your success. They have been a huge part of why you're 27-4. So do you risk that? I don't know. It's not an enviable position to be in. It's a good problem to have if you're Kenny Atkinson, to have all that talent to try and figure out a rotation. But if you're the front office, you got to really think and think hard.
Yeah, and listen, I think on some level, like, you do kind of owe it to this group to see this thing through with the major change being the coach. And I mean, that was what they banked on last offseason, right? They were like, we're going to keep the core together and we're going to bring in a new coach and see what he can do with this group. And he's clearly found a different iteration of it that can produce results. You know, you also think about, like, you talk about assets and, you know, this offseason, the Cavs will have more assets in the way of picks that they can trade because right now so many of their picks are still tied up with Utah. Like, you get another year's worth of a first rounder that you could potentially use in a trade this summer. So, like, there's more opportunity there to sort of do some things if you're trying to use a pick as something to entice a team. And the thing with that is, like, now that you have Donovan Mitchell locked in longer term, you know you're able to use those things to your advantage to help make a trade or facilitate a trade as a big thing that you're sending to somebody along with a potential player. So I think about all those different things. Like, I almost feel like, and maybe this would be the wrong approach. Like, maybe if they lose if they get smoked in the conference finals against the Celtics or something, people will be like, man, we should have done more at the trade deadline. And I can understand that. But I do think, like I said, if I'm okay if they sort of see this thing through right now, as long as they're playing at the level that they're playing at right now, go, you know, into February, into the deadline, past the deadline, where, you know, you kind of see this thing through this year, and then you use the offseason to determine whether or not you have to shake things up a little bit and add that wing that this team obviously has been sort of coveting but lacking over the last couple of years. And on the schedule thing too, I'll just say this real quick, like, they can only control, like, so much with, you know what I mean? Like, their schedule is their schedule right now. Like, they can't help that the teams they've played to this point have been on there. And some of these matchups, like, they can't help that the 76ers just stink this year. They can't help that, like, the times they played the Bucks, like, some of their stars were resting. And I do think, like, if you're worried about the schedule, yeah, this West Coast trip, Warriors, Lakers, back-to-back, Mavericks, you come home, you have the Thunder in a game. I mean, let's face it, like, the Western Conference is obviously stronger than the Eastern Conference, and you haven't played a lot of the Eastern Conference best teams right now. You played the Celtics twice. You played the Bucks a couple times, but you haven't played the Knicks more than once yet. So it's like you haven't had a chance to play those teams, but, like, you get a bunch of these Western Conference teams coming up. The Thunder, like I said, you know, in basically an eight-day span in January. You got the T-Wolves on this schedule coming up. You got the Suns a couple times. You get the Mavericks and Celtics in early February. So this next, like, month or so of the schedule is, I think, going to change a lot of those narratives about people who are just like, well, they've had a very soft schedule. Okay, well, if they go out and prove it against these other teams, like, that won't be an excuse anymore.
You're not going to have anything else to talk about. And it's like I told you on your show, man, people are searching for reasons not to believe. And I don't know why. It's fun basketball. They just went into Denver the other night and put up 150 points. I know that Denver's defense isn't that great, but that's still a former championship team. Like, what more do you need to see?
I almost wonder if this is the sort of the curse that of the NBA season, because we know that people downplay the regular season at this point. And I think with the Cavs especially, because of how previous postseasons have gone, fans are very inclined to just be like, you got to prove it to me in the playoffs before I believe anything. And I can understand that, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't like enjoy the ride and feel like there are things to still learn about this team along the way. Like we alluded to, the fact that they have established good habits, I think that's massive for whatever they're going to do in the playoffs. And that's a big takeaway from whatever plays out during the regular season.
Yeah, and you look at that Utah game, like that's a game that probably shouldn't come down to the final couple possessions. But they were even talking about how like, hey, it was nice to play a close game because we need to learn how to play in these situations and what different types of things to draw up and foul situations and scenarios where we have to make the next pass to the open man or whatever kind of set or tendency we're going to have coming out of a timeout, you know, those types of things. They haven't had too many of those this year because they've just been stomping on teams with their foot and crushing their throats. I look at this in a way where, I don't know, you just said it best, I think, like the downplaying of the regular season has entered a lot of people's minds. But like, if you're going to make that argument and you've been watching the team, that's one thing. But half of these people aren't even watching. They're just kind of looking at the records. They're looking at the
They haven't started watching yet. They're like, I'll check in late January. You know, talk to me when the playoffs start. Like, they kind of have that mentality to it. I agree with you. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's their prerogative. That is what, you know, it annoys the crap out of me. But what can you do? So when it does come time that people are watching, and usually Christmas is the unofficial start to the NBA season, is like some like to put it. So maybe they'll start paying attention now and, you know, see what happens the rest of this road trip. And then, like you said, the next month or so, there's a good schedule coming here. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond and how they do things. And I don't know what more needs to be seen, though, that they're not capable of doing it, though. Now, they're not going to go in the playoffs and hit 23s for four straight games. That's not going to happen, okay? That's literally been done by two teams, them and the Boston Celtics last year. And that's what happened. That's what's happened the last four games. That's not going to happen in the postseason. But you can see a physical team. You can see a team that can win a 100-98 game, or can win 149-135 game, or any other game. They are so multifaceted and dangerous in that they can beat you in any way you want to play the game. And they adjust, and they don't give in, and they certainly don't let up. And I feel like that is what makes them so difficult to beat at the moment. And if this continues, I don't know what it takes to take that out of them. It's almost ingrained into their character, into their soul right now.
Yeah, no, I think that's really well said. I do want to get to our New Year's resolutions for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but quick, let's look
at some of these comments. I see it's filling up. I appreciate everybody that's watching.
We were on the same wavelength because I was going to go there next. We like to sort of jump, get some of these in here and see what you guys have to say. Nine Ja says, greetings to the panel and shout out in the chat. Go Cavs. Marcelo on Twitter says, was waiting for the next live about damn time. Anytime I hear somebody say about damn time, I picture the,
Marcelo.
My bad.
No, he's covering the Buckeyes, the Browns. I'm pretty sure that he's probably going to the winter meetings. He's probably going to the CFP panel next out in LA.
I'm definitely not going to the winter.
This man's going everywhere.
Anytime I hear somebody say about damn time, I think of the LeBron gif from when he won his first championship. It's about damn time. I like that one. Hit the thumbs up, please, if you forgot. I like that.
Appreciate that, Ja. Thank you.
And I know Tom S. always jumps in. He says the Cavs, I think you meant to say Cavs are a team. And I think that was when you were sort of talking about their chemistry and how well they play off of each other. He also jumped in with DG and Spida, unselfish leadership. Yeah, I mean, that's been, I think, one of the stories of the season has just been those two kind of leading the charge and setting the tone. You know, we've heard a lot from Donovan about that and how he's just very even keel. And I think that certainly has rubbed off on the rest of the team. So, Spence, we conclude this episode with kind of a fun little bit here. It's our last show of 2024. The next time you'll hear from us on this platform on the podcast will be in 2025. So I want us to go around the room and do our New Year's resolutions for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'll let you go first.
Shore up the offensive glass the way that they have been. Still not quite there yet. I feel like finishing possessions is definitely one of those things too. New Year's resolution though, man. I mean, I guess it would be to go out and get a backup big, but like,
well, I was going to, that's perfect timing. JB Smooth, 84, my coworker at 92 to the Fan, he says they got to find a better emergency big. So there's a good resolution for you as well, as you're talking about it in real time.
Is that James Bridges?
It is James Bridges.
That's yeah. James Bridges. That's my guy right there. What up, James? Thanks for watching. But no, yeah, backup big, like, but it's not a backup big in the sense of like, it's literally a matchup thing, because like, if you face like someone like a Steven Adams or a Jonas Valanciunas, which you're not going to be seeing the Wizards in the playoffs, but maybe he gets, you know, a buyout or something like that. Someone of that ilk, right? Someone who can, you know, get boards, you know, kind of just body up those bigger centers. Like, I don't know. You're going to see Joel Embiid in the playoffs. I don't know. Like you have to think there's not that many of those left, but in the sense that you do, like, everyone looks at Mitchell Robinson because we live 2 years ago. That's what we do, live in the past. But if you do end up facing off against a Mitchell Robinson, then yes, you would need someone to match up with that. But like, the Celtics don't have somebody like that. They have Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford and Luke Kornet. Those aren't bruisers. You look around, Milwaukee has one, like Brook Lopez is, but he's more towards the perimeter when he's shooting threes and stuff like that. Bam Adebayo is not like that. Miles Turner is not like that. You want to go down the list of these teams that might be in the playoffs. Like, I don't know. Atlanta does. Clint Capella is not a bruiser, nor is Onyeka Okongwu. So it's just not that big of a deal for me, but it would be nice to have like a third/fourth big if they need to get one of those bigger guys. The wing, you can look at the buyout market too. It's going to be one of those things. It's going to be a wing or a big. Yeah, like, yeah. You look at the last 2 years, it's been Marcus Morris that they went out and got for the playoffs last year. The year before that, they got Danny Green. Probably something similar this year, guys.
I do think they probably add something at the deadline that's more so of what you were just describing, like a buyout player as a wing and just kind of see what he brings to the table. That feels like where this is headed. So for those of you who want some big blockbuster, I'm sorry, but I do think that's probably what happens. I like the emergency big as a resolution. My resolution, though, simple. Let's get a trip to the conference finals. I mean, we've been saying it's the thing that the next natural step they have to take with how good this team is and how good they've been. I think setting the bar at that level and being like, let's see that happen. Like, they I don't want to say they owe it to you, but they, I mean, as fans, they you know, fans always feel like they're owed something, of course. But like, I just think with how good they've been, like, this team is worthy and has proven they can compete at that level. Like, get there. And I think whatever happens from there, this season becomes a successful one and feels like a successful one. But that's kind of where my head's at with it. I'm just going to keep it simple, keep it straight, and say a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals feels like the thing that's got to happen for this team in 2025. So there you go. Boom.
They owe it to themselves to do that.
That's fair.
Like you said, it's somewhat owed to the fans, but it's owed to themselves. They've put the work in. They're the ones who are showing what they are capable of, what they are able to do. And that is beat teams by 30. You could go out and execute, out-execute teams, lock them down, bombard them with threes. Like, you're capable to do this stuff. Like, you have to go out and build upon it. And that's, I think, they know that, but they do. They owe it to themselves. You listen to any of these guys talk throughout the season. Like, yeah, that's great. We won this game by double digits or whatever. But, you know, we're looking at something bigger than this.
Yeah.
George Niang said that. Donovan Mitchell said that. DG has said that. The attitude in that room right now is so healthy and clean and understanding of where this needs to go. And if championship isn't your mindset, then you're in the wrong place, especially with this kind of group that is clicking on all cylinders right now. And again, Kenny's just in the lab, just mixing up the right potions.
Well, let's face it, with how bad another team in town has been, fans would absolutely appreciate.
You had to go there.
They would, I'm just
you
saying,
had to
fan,
go there.
Fans would absolutely appreciate one of their teams doing something like a conference finals run and giving them something to really celebrate and cheer for this summer. So we'll see if it can happen. We'll see if they can get there. We got a long way to go, of course. And Spencer and I will obviously be there every step of the way to document it with you. We'll have more episodes of the podcast coming up in the new year. We'll have more content from the games. They're on the West Coast right now for the rest of this week, but they start back up coming well with the Hornets in town next week. So we'll certainly have more post-game reactions, more post-game press conferences, and all that good stuff for you. Head on over to the Cavaliers on SI YouTube channel, where many of you are actually watching this right now. Subscribe, like the podcast, like the channel, and be sure to do what you're doing in the comments. Comment, let us know how you feel, share your thoughts on the team, whatever you want to do. And as always, you can follow along with any of our written content and just keep tabs on the team over at the Cleveland Cavaliers on SI or SI.com/NBA/Cavs or Cavaliers, I guess it is. I always like to shorten it because it's easy.
You're doing so good.
appreciate you all, as always. For Spencer Davies, I'm Spencer German. Another episode of Courtside with the Cavaliers on SI in the books, with plenty more to come. Take it easy, and Happy New Year to you guys, Cleveland.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.